Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our look at Psalm 23 this morning. We'll be in verses 4 and 5. We see the author changes how he addresses his shepherd. In the first three verses, he refers to him in the third person by using the pronoun he. In verses 4 and 5, God becomes very personal to David. He addresses him as you. It doesn't surprise me that this change took place while David was walking through one of the dark valleys of his life. Richard Foster said, God becomes a reality when he becomes a necessity. When we have nowhere else to turn, we will finally turn to God. Let's turn to him before then so we enjoy his presence in the good times as well as the difficult times. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel his peace and presence in your life. And thank you for listening.
Things sound different to you this morning than our normal church broadcast. It's because the last Sunday service was led almost totally by our high school youth, and they did a great job, and so we hope you enjoy their leading this special service.
Please join me for hymn number 61, Oh How I Love Jesus.
Senior high puppeteers have children's time.
Good morning. Thank you for coming today. Hello to our online friends too. Today's service is based on love in action. So what does that mean? God gave the Israelites the instructions a long time ago. It's called the Ten Commandments. God is love, and he showed that when he sent his son to live just like us. So how do we show love?
Showing love means being nice to someone else, even if you don't like them or they aren't nice to you. Helping at home for mom and dad when they need your help, helping another student who may have dropped books, pencils, or other things, opening the door for someone, or even just smiling at others who may need it. Sometimes you don't know that what you do for others makes them feel good.
Think about the Ten Commandments that God gave us. God first, no idols, don't abuse God's name, rest on Sunday, honor your parents, that will make God smile. Don't harm others, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie about your neighbor, don't want anything that your neighbor has. The first three are about God, and the other seven are about your neighbor.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. Help us show love to others in our everyday lives. Thank you for the Bible, too. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our children's choir sings, He Made Me Special. Reads our first scripture lesson.
This is the first scripture lesson. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partially to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Kissick reads the second scripture lesson.
The second reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Ella Berger reads our third scripture lesson.
Do not mercilessly listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like.
But whoever looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceives themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Good morning, everyone. As many of you may know, my name is Kane Ingram. I am a senior at California High School, and I will be starting our sermon this morning. Today, I will talk about how Romans chapter 12, verse 9 relates to me. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good." This verse has always spoken to me in a very personal way, because it reminds me to check my heart and ask myself if the love I show is truly sincere. There have been times in my own life when I've gone through the motions of being kind or helpful, but deep down I knew I wasn't doing it with the right spirit. Maybe I was tired, distracted, or even just trying to look like a good Christian. But this verse challenges me to go deeper, to love in a way that is real and not forced. Genuine love means showing up for people even when it's not easy, and caring for them because that's what Christ does for us. For example, I think about the times when a friend has called me late at night needing someone to talk to. My first thought might be, I'm exhausted. But then I remember that genuine love means putting their need above my comfort. Or when I see someone struggling at work or school, it's easy to just say, I'll pray for you, and move on. But genuine love pushes me to actually step in, maybe by helping with a task, offering encouragement, or just being present. Those small actions, when done sincerely, can mean so much more than words alone. The second part of the verse, hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. This also hits home for me. I know how easy it is to get caught up in negativity, gossip, or even just focusing on the things that go wrong in life. But this verse reminds me that I have a choice. I can either let those things pull me down, or I can cling to what is good, to God's promises, to kindness, and to hope. For me, holding fast to what is good often looks like choosing gratitude, even in small things. It's remembering to thank God for a new morning, for family, and for friends, and even for the chance to grow. It's also about surrounding myself with people and habits that lift me up instead of drag me down. For example, instead of joining in when others complain, I can choose to speak words of encouragement. Instead of dwelling on mistakes, I can focus on lessons learned and the blessings that came out of them. So when I think about Romans chapter 12, verse 9, I see it as a daily challenge. Am I loving people genuinely, not just with my words, but with my heart? Am I turning away from what is harmful and holding on tightly to what is good? I know I don't always get it right, but I believe that when we try to live this way, even in small steps, we reflect God's love more clearly to the world around us. My prayer is that each of us would take this verse and make it personal, that in our homes, our schools, our workplaces, and even in the little everyday moments, we would choose to love sincerely and cling to what is good. Because when we do, we not only grow closer to God, but we also become living examples of his love to everyone we meet. Thank you, and may our lives this week be marked by genuine love and a steadfast grip on all that holds good in Christ.
Hello, my name is Hunter Hall. I'm a junior here at California High School, and today I would like to talk to you about Romans chapter 12, verse 11. In the New English Translation, it reads, "Do not lag in zeal, be enthusiastic in spirit, and serve the Lord." I chose this verse because I feel I can relate to it. With me being in so many extracurricular activities, I cannot lag in zeal, and I must be enthusiastic about them, or I will fall behind. "Do not lag in zeal" is the first part of this verse. This phrase emphasizes consistent and energetic dedication to God's will for our lives. It calls on us to not be sluggish or fall behind in our commitment to what God has called on us to do. On the football field, I play on the offensive line. If I'm sluggish and don't block the correct guy, my teammate, who's carrying the ball, is not going to make it very far. I have to have my body in position, be quick off the snap, and ready to block in order for one of my teammates to hopefully gain some yards. And on the basketball court, I also have to be energetic when getting up and down the court, blocking shots and beating my opponent to the basket. This is similar to my walk as a Christian. I have to block out distractions, negativity, and things that do not promote a Christian lifestyle or praise God. In our daily lives, we don't have to look very far to be distracted by things that are not good for our Christian walk. So we cannot lag in zeal, or our relationship with God might be compromised. The second part of this verse is be enthusiastic in spirit. This refers to having a passionate and lively attitude in regards to our faith. At school, I'm also a part of our chamber choir, Sounds of Joy. As we perform, we are expected to entertain our audience, reflect the emotions of the song that we are singing, and sometimes even dance. If we were not enthusiastic while performing, no one would want to come see our performances, and we would not be nearly as successful when we are performing in front of judges during contest season. Similarly, in our Christian life, we are supposed to reflect the actions and emotions that Christ exerted in the Bible so that non-believers can see Christ through us. We should be passionate about telling others about the fact that Christ died for us so that we can live eternally in heaven. If we are lukewarm Christians, non-believers will not be able to see the difference that God can make, or God has made in our life and can make in theirs. The final part of Romans chapter 12, verse 11, is serve the Lord. God has blessed each of us with different gifts. It is our responsibility to use these gifts to serve His purpose for our lives as we share His love with others. I believe that one of my gifts is speaking in public, which I'm doing right now. I'm an FCA leader and an FFA chapter officer. With both of these, I'm expected to speak in front of my peers. In FCA, sometimes I lead the weekly devotion or run a game. And in FFA, I'm on contest teams. And I have been forced to speak in public and conduct chapter meetings and ag issues. I've had to present in front of different organizations and groups of adults, either to demonstrate how to properly run a meeting using Robert's Rules of Order, or to present an agricultural issue. When God asks us to serve Him, it means that we need to present ourselves in the way that He created us to be. I believe that I am able to serve God by speaking about the issues that are important to living life as a Christian. When I use the voice that God gave me, it is pleasuring to Him, and I feel good knowing I am fulfilling His purpose for my life. In closing today, I challenge you to spend time reading Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and to embrace a life of fervent spirit and diligent service for God. I encourage you to be active, persistent, and focus on God's purpose for your life. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Adler Kester, and I'm going to be speaking about Romans chapter 12, verse 12. We had a choice to choose from verses 9 through 16. After reading through these verses, one stuck out to me. It is chapter 12. It reads, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." This verse stood out to me with the strongest meaning out of all of them. Being joyful in hope means to me to be excited and confident in your future self. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, is a verse that I found that is a good example of hope. It reads, "May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace you have as you trust Him." If you have hope in God or hope in an event that you are going through, God will help you with it. This means a lot to me as I am a senior in high school and graduating this year. As I graduate, I have to be joyful and confident in what God has planned for me in my future. I have a plan of what I want to do, and I pray that God makes those plans work. Some may not know what they want to do. If they let God lead you through life, He has a plan for each and every one of us and will lead us all in the right way if we believe in His plan. The second part to this verse stuck out to me also. It reads, "Be patient in affliction." You will go through ups and downs in life, but you can't let the hard times lead you astray from the Word. Let the hard times lead you closer and more familiar. The evil is always trying to beat you down and tear you apart, but God is always there to lift you up wherever you are. Just like now, our high school football team is not doing the best. If they are patient and put it in God's hands, it will all work out for them In my life, I've gone through hard times, but I know as long as I pray to God, there is time for me, the hard times will eventually straighten out and become better with time. Being patient in affliction leads me to the third part of this verse, be faithful in prayer. Being faithful in prayer is often one that we get caught up in our busy lives with work, school, and family. Every night before I go to bed or before I eat dinner, I try my best to say a prayer. Praying is a simple thing that can help you with hard times and stress. When I'm worried about something, I like to take a moment and give time for Jesus, praying to Him and talking to Him. After I talk to Him, the stress gets relieved because that lets me know that God has my back with His plan for me. I know we all have family and friends, but going to God is a different kind of hope and relief you get in a hard time or situation. God won't judge you as long as you're putting things in His shoes. He will forgive you and make the situation better. After reading this verse, it has made me realize how I can be more joyful in hope, more patient in affliction, and more faithful in my prayer. And I know if I go through my life trusting God and giving my life to Him, He will help me with all three parts of this verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 is a verse that really shows the true steps of being a good and faithful Christian. I hope that this verse has stood out to all of you guys as it stood out to me. Thank you.
When someone cuts you off in traffic, ignores you when you are speaking, or mistreats you in any way, what is your first reaction? Usually, it is not to bless them. Our natural instinct tells us to retaliate, but in Romans, Paul tells us to do the opposite. The verse I'm speaking about today is Romans 12, verse 14. Paul tells us to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. While on the cross, people mocked Jesus. They used profane language, and they did their best to dehumanize Him. Instead of cursing them back, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Many see this behavior as a weakness, but we know holding back initial thoughts and reactions takes a great deal of strength. I think it is important to know that Paul specifically says to bless those who persecute you. He does not tell us to ignore them or do our best to hold our tongues. Paul rather us be active than passive. Blessing someone means to speak well of and ask God's favor upon. Curse means to wish harm or speak evil. Paul's command is short, but it is powerful. I think Paul thought this was a powerful verse as well, because he even says it twice. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. I think he repeated it because it is not natural for us to want to immediately wish the best for someone who has wronged us. Paul wants to make it clear that this is not optional and a big part to the Christian life. It is one thing to bless someone who may just annoy you. It is completely different when it is someone who persecutes you every day and does their best to make your life miserable. Paul wasn't addressing minor inconveniences. He was writing to the Christians in Rome who were facing real persecution all because of their faith. They were expected to honor the Roman emperor as a lord and offer sacrifices to the Roman gods. We were given a commandment to have no other gods, but because of this way of thinking, the Christians were looked at as unpatriotic and rebellious. Rumors spread that the Christians were atheists because they did not worship idols, and they were called cannibals because of the way they talked about the Lord's Supper, eating the body of Christ and drinking His blood. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, verse 44, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Not only were the Christians in Rome called upon to keep peace with the persecutors, but also love them and pray for them. So why does God want us to bless our enemies? I think there are three big reasons. It transforms us as people. When we choose to bless, we are refusing to let bitterness control us. We break the cycle of hatred that can sometimes eat away at our own souls. The second reason is it is an act that serves as a witness to the world. Nothing confuses and amazes people more than when Christians respond to evil with good. That is when non-believers realize that there is something supernatural about our faith and that there is a God who lives throughout us. And finally, it honors God's justice. In Romans 12, verse 19, He tells us, "Do not take revenge. It is mine to avenge. I will repay." When we do our job by blessing instead of cursing them, we release them into God's hands, where we trust Him to deal with justice. How can we live out Romans 12, 14 in our daily lives? There are many ways. We can pray for them and ask God not only to change them, but to bless them. 2, we can speak well of them and refuse to spread gossip and negativity over them. 3, do good to them. Romans 12, verse 20 reads, If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And the fourth one I put down is to release them to God while choosing to forgive and letting him handle the justice. Romans 12:14 calls us to do something radical and maybe impossible without the help of God. It is not easy to bless the ones who hurt us. It wasn't easy for the Christians in Rome, and it wasn't even easy for Jesus on the cross. But by the Spirit of God, it is possible. The world tries to tell us to curse the ones who curse us, but Jesus says to bless them. The world says to despise your enemies. Jesus says to love them. The world says to get even. Jesus says to forgive. When we bless instead of curse, we are more like Jesus. And when we are like Jesus, everyone around us gets to experience his glory. Whenever we are having a hard time blessing someone who has cursed us, we always have our Savior reminding us that if he could do it while being tortured on the cross, so can we. Thank you.
The person who just spoke was Chase Trimble. Now Cody Schneider completes the morning message.
Hello, California UCC. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Cody Schneider, a senior at the California High School. I want to continue the sermon with Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Paul writes, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." That verse is short, but it is packed with the kind of wisdom we need, especially in a world that often tells us the opposite. Live in harmony with one another. Think about that for a moment. Harmony does not mean uniformity. We're not all supposed to think the same, act the same, or even look the same. Harmony is like music. Different notes, different instruments, all playing together in sync to create something beautiful. That's what the church should be. A family of different people, different backgrounds, united in Christ. But harmony takes effort. It requires listening, it requires patience, and it requires humility. And that's exactly where Paul goes next. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That hits deep to me. We live in a culture that often values status, money, power, appearance, and popularity. But the kingdom of God turns that upside down. Jesus Christ, our Savior, spent his time with the poor, the outcast, the sick, and the sinners. He touched the untouchable. He welcomed the overlooked. So Paul is reminding us, don't look down on anyone. Don't chase status. Instead, see the people the way Jesus sees them, with love, compassion, and dignity. Whether someone is homeless or wealthy, educated or uneducated, broken or whole, our call is to love them equally, to associate with them without hesitation or pride. Do not be conceited. This is the heart of it, church. Conceit is a lie that tells us we're better than others. Pride builds walls, while humility builds bridges. We are called to be the bridge builders. So what does this look like in a daily life? Maybe it means sitting with someone at church who's always alone. Maybe it means stepping out of your comfort zone to serve someone who can never repay you. Maybe it means listening instead of judging, welcoming instead of avoiding. We are never more like Jesus than when we are humble, loving, and living in harmony with one another. So let's ask ourselves today, who have I overlooked? Where has pride crept in? How can I be a peacemaker in my relationship? Let us be a church that lives out of Romans 12:16, where harmony, humility, and love are just not ideals, but daily actions. Thank you.
Please turn your hymn books to number 462, Jesus Loves Me.
Bow your heads in prayer. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equipped you with everything good for his doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.